to overcome means to get better of or prevail over, to control, to get or to bring under control, to master, to conquer, to defeat, or to beat. Obstacles is a thing that blocks one's way or prevents or hinder progress. Barriers, or hurdles, or stumbling blocks. And we have so many stumbling blocks in our life, but God is going to show us how to deal with them.
All right.
He's going to show us how to deal with the stumbling blocks. Well, what are some of the stumbling blocks, you may ask? It could be anything from, I did not graduate from high school, so therefore I don't have the best of job. So, I want a new job, I don't have a job, or I'm homeless, or anything of those type of natures, or I'm sick in my body. Those can be stumbling blocks. Anything that's going to keep you from getting to where God wants you to be is a stumbling block.
Amen.
I'm not consistent, I'm not committed. But all of those have sources, have a resource for getting better in that particular obstacle. We all have obstacles. All of these obstacles in our life are designed to keep us from doing the will of God.
That's right.
Devil wants us to be bogged down with trouble. He wants us to be sick in our body. He wants us not to be able to serve God and do for the things that God has commanded us to do. James 1:3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Our trials are designed to make us strong, not weak. But if we don't have faith, if we don't believe that we can overcome these things, you have to see yourself as God sees you.
Right.
And if you see yourself healed, then you can be healed.
Right.
If you see yourself and you believe in your heart and you have faith to know that Jesus will heal your body, you can be healed.
Yeah.
You can be delivered and you can be set free. And in this particular chapter that we're reading on today, this was a paralyzed man.
Uh-huh.
And if you know that being paralyzed is, you are limited on whatever you're able to do. You have to wait on somebody to do something for you. You have to wait for somebody to take you somewhere. We can get paralyzed in our own self-life. Not physically paralyzed like this man was. But we can be paralyzed to the point where we have to wait on somebody and depend on someone to do something for us that God has given us the ability to do for ourselves. But we get dependent on somebody else. But in this particular passage, Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 12, verse 1 says, and I love this, it says, when Jesus was in Capernaum, the people heard that he had come. They gathered together. They made a noise in the King James Version. It said noise that he was in the house.
Yeah.
That's the type of noise we need to have in the house.
Yeah.
We got to have that type of excitement that when people see us coming to church, they be like, I got to go and find out what that type of excitement is. Why is she so excited? But it says when Jesus was in the house. Now when Jesus is in the house, it ought to be some noise making in the house. Because what the noise does, it causes him to hang his hat. It causes him to tarry for a little while. Because he likes the sound that's in the house. He wants to be worshipped. He wants to be adored in adoration. Y'all know how it is when you're in your relationships with your significant other. You say, you fool, you want to be praised. You want them to say nice things about you. Same thing with God. When he's in our presence, he wants to be adored. He wants to be adorated. He wants to be worshipped and adored. They made noise in the house. They praised. Praise moves God. It says, the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. It means he's there. He's there. He's planted where the noise is. So you want to make some noise for Jesus. The paralyzed man, he had some obstacles. He was paralyzed. His second obstacle was they had to get him to the house. He had to depend on somebody to get him to the house.
Uh-huh.
That's why you got to have the right type of friends, y'all.
That's right.
You got to have some friends that when you fall, they can say, hey, you know what, sis, that wasn't right. I think you need to go back and say, you know, and think, rethink that thing. You know, so you need somebody that can pray you through that thing. When we go through, we need somebody that's stronger, that can stick with us and say, it's okay. That can help you. He had those friends. Those friends took him. They didn't say they were saved. They didn't say they was on their way. You know, and they just so happened to pick him up on the way. It didn't say that. They said they took him there for a purpose. And they wanted to help their friend get a healing.
All right.
Now, that I was telling a lady that at the school, one of the instructors, and we was talking about it, and I was telling her my sermon topic, and she said, oh, I preached that one before. She said, you know, Milton, they ain't always got to be saved to get you to the house.
All right.
I said, okay. Well, what you mean by that? She said, because those that stay and in the house, they hate on you. They talk about you. They don't want you to be saved. They don't want you to be healed. They don't want you to be a little bit above them. Because they want to always have the spotlight. I said, I get it. Well, these men, we don't know if they were saved or not. But guess what? They could have given up at any time. Because when they got there, people was lining up everywhere. That's how the churches ought to be today. They lining up everywhere. You can't even get a seat in the church. Because they coming to see Jesus. They coming to hear a word from Jesus. And Jesus was in the house preaching. He was preaching to the people. And immediately, well, before we get to that verse, let's go back. They went and found another way. Let me get another plan. They got another plan. They could have said it's full, but we're not going to stop you. They got an idea. Sometimes you have to do what you've never done before to get a different result. To get the result that you're looking for. Because we get stuck, and I know I'm guilty, we get stuck of doing the same thing the same way over and over again and getting the same results. But if you want a better result, you're going to have to do things a little bit better than you did before. So number one, I have to change the way I've been doing things. I have to give my whole heart. I have to surrender to God. I have to do God's way and not my way.
Amen.
You have to connect yourself with the right people.
Yes.
If you want to get where God wants you to be, you got to obey his word. You have to have faith. And not just this paralyzed man and his friends. They knew that Jesus would be able to heal them. But not just him, but look at Job. Job had everything taken from him, but he never lost faith. Yeah, we go through it, and yeah, we get weary and we get down, but he never turned his back on God. He always knew in the back of his mind that God got my back. Look at Esther. Esther wanted to go before the king, but she was afraid that they would be killed. That was a stumbling block. But she didn't let it stop her. That's the thing about it. We're going to have stumbling blocks. We're going to have life situations to happen. But we cannot let them stop us from getting what God wants us to do. We can't allow it to stand before us and God. That's what the devil wants. He wants stumbling blocks to take our focus off of what God has designed for our lives to do. Satan don't want us to do what God has called us to do. But the devil is a lie. We have to do what God has called us to do. I mentioned to you some time ago about a guy who was running a race by the name of Derek Redman. And in this race, he fell down right before the finish line. And his father, all the way in the stands, saw him fall down. He ran out of the stands to help his son up. Now the race was over, but that wasn't the point his father was trying to make. Just because you've fallen down, it's not over. He stood with his son. He said, we're going to do this together. Everybody else was gone. They stood on the sidelines looking. And that's how it is when you fall down, you got your spectators. They looking to see if you're going to get back up again. They looking to see if you're going to recover from this. They looking to see what you're going to say. They looking to see how you're going to react. But that father took his son up and got him by the arm and walked with his son to the finish line. That's the type of folks you got to have in your corner. Somebody that's going to walk with you. They ain't got to get the spotlight, but they're going to walk with you. You want somebody on your side that's going to help you.
Hallelujah.
The lesson here today is Jesus is telling us not to give up.
Never give up.
All right.
Don't give up. Because help is on the way.
Thank you, Lord.
In verse 4, in verse 6, let me tell you about those, why you have to have the right set of friends. Now, while Jesus was doing all of this, you had some folks sitting there thinking to themselves, why does the fella talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sin but God? God alone. That's how folks is. So that's what made me think about what the lady said. It's not always about the people in the church bringing you. Because the spectators is the very ones that said, well, she got to come to the altar anyway.
Uh-huh. That's good.
Come on here. That's why it's all right for somebody on the outside, because they're not going to judge you.
Well, glory, glory.
We are critical of each other.
Yes.
We judge people in the church.
My God.
They doing all that over there in that mega church. Mm-hmm. Why they doing all of that? Mm-hmm. But our key focus is to getting people saved.
That's right.
So I don't care what they're doing over there. If they're getting people saved, they can have 10,000 members. But if they're getting them saved and they're feeding them the word of God, it don't matter.
That's right.
Because while we're focused on them, we're losing our own self over here.
Right.
We're missing out on what we're supposed to be doing because we're focused on other people.
All right.
God has put us all here for the purpose of saving souls.
That's
our purpose. Not to just be in this world. Not just to get saved and do nothing, as Pastor said. It's to work. Our job is to work. Come in and get the word and go get somebody else and bring them to hear the word. That they can go out there and get somebody else and bring them in to hear the word. Because that's what those people did. They gathered to hear the word. They didn't gather to hear the song service. It says Jesus was preaching. He wasn't singing. He wasn't doing nothing. He was preaching the word. And he had a crowd of folks. People was all outside trying to get in there. Because Jesus was in the house. When his presence show up, y'all, who wouldn't want to be in the presence of Jesus? Because things start happening when the presence of God is in his place. People start getting healed when Jesus is in the house. When his presence is in here, you ain't going to want to leave out the same way you came in. Because you want to tarry in his presence.
Hallelujah.
The spectators. Why? But instead, they should have been grateful, been praising that somebody brought the man to be healed. Don't allow your brothers and sisters to, you know that's a brick wall, you just going to let them hit that brick wall. No, you get them before they get to the wall.
Amen.
You help them.
We're
here to help and to save and to help our brothers and sisters do the things that God has called them to do. And how do we do that? with one another. But as soon as they said it, and this is the reason why you got to watch what you say.
All right.
Because as soon as they got the murmuring and gossiping over there, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit. Touch your neighbor and say, Jesus knows what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And he does. Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. Now see, they ought to have been feeling kind of shame right there. They should have really believed who Jesus was, because Jesus told them, why are you thinking these things? Now it was a crowd of people up in there, y'all. And it was a lot of noise. That's what the Bible says. It was a lot of noise going on. And for Jesus to know that we are here talking about this here man, they should have known who Jesus was.
All right.
But Jesus says, why are you thinking of these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man? Mm-hmm. Your sins are forgiven. Or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sin. Jesus has the authority to do whatever he wants to do in whatever order he wants to do it in. But he didn't heal the man at first because he needed to be saved. That's another reason to let you know that they weren't saved, because Jesus said your sins are forgiven. Because if I heal your body and you still go out there and I didn't say forgive you, you haven't asked for forgiveness, or I haven't forgiven you, you're still going out there doing the same thing.
Glory.
But he says your sins are forgiven.
That's right.
Then he told the man you're healed.
That's right.
Yeah.
So now that when he goes out there, now they can see the, wait a minute now, this is physical. They can see the man was paralyzed at one time. Now he's walking out the door with his mat in his hand. Now they know who Jesus really is. Now he's a testimony to Jesus. When Jesus heals your body, you are a testimony to somebody else. When Evangelist walked back in here, she was a testimony to somebody else. When Sister Mayola walks back in here, that means she was a testimony to somebody else. That means that God is still here. God is still in the healing business. I don't care what your circumstances look like. I don't care what your obstacles look like. God will heal your body. God will turn your situation around. God will fix it if you want to. We just got to have the faith to believe that God is, that God shall do anything but faith. Hallelujah, Jesus. But we got to endure this race. A songwriter put a pen to the paper. He says, the road is rough. The going gets tough. The hills are hard to climb. But he said, I decided to make Jesus my choice. The road is going to be rough sometimes. We go through some things sometimes. But God said he is faithful and he is just to take us through. Hallelujah. Whenever you doubt, look to Jesus, because he's the author and finisher of our faith. He gave us an example on how to endure. Guess what? Could nobody endure the cross like Jesus endured the cross? God could have did it. He could have did it any other way that he wanted to. But he gave somebody that never sinned, walked on this earth, never sinned that one time. He went to Calvary for us. Touch your neighbor and say, he went to Calvary for me. He went to Calvary for us. He didn't have to do it. He could have called legions of angels to come down and rescue him. But because of his love and his kindness to the Father, he could have came down at any given time. He didn't have to take the beating. He didn't have to take the ridicule. But for us, special to even think about us. We hadn't even hit the scene yet. But he knew that we was going to mess up. He knew that we was going to need a Savior. He knew that we was going to have hard times. He knew that we was going to have these obstacles. But he said, I'm going to Calvary. He told the Father, if it be your will, I'm going to do it. Jesus got up from the grave with all power. Power that he has given us to speak to that obstacle. To tell that obstacle to move out of my way. Because I trust God. And I know God is going to fix it. Hallelujah. God is going to fix whatever you're going through. God is going to fix it. You said, well, I don't even know how to bear this burden. I don't even know how to go through these obstacles. Oh, well, I'm glad you asked me because I'm going to tell you. You're going to pray. You're going to pray. You're going to get in your vehicle of praise. And you're going to